Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, have you ever thought about who's the biggest rock star of all time?
Oh, I have, Jim. I've studied this question with some of the greatest researched minds, developed statistical analyses, and utilized 1.21 gigawatts of computing power. And after all that, do you know what I found?
I'm afraid to ask.
That's right. Stanley Burt Eisen.
Yes. That was yes. Genius. All right, we're hanging out at Settle Down Easy Brewing again. Another day here. We do. And in Falls Church, Virginia, it is the site of night one of Suburbs Fest on October 1st. Come on out and hang out with us. And if you want, you can, you know, play a song. We're gonna do a open mic, live hooting anything.
It's going to be fun.
Or you can just hear other people from the community perform, and you can just hang out with us and buy us drinks. Great beer here. Settle Down Easy Brewery. We love it. Now, while we are here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We thought this would be a great opportunity, because Mike practically lives here, to get Mike Snyder and do a patron episode.
Sure.
So,
be great.
Welcome, Mike.
Great to be here. I haven't been here for a while, you know. It's fun to get out of the house.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then Bill Mulligan's also sitting in.
Yeah, I was just wandering by.
Because he's like a permanent fixture of the podcast now. So, Mike gets to pick the topic, and he has something special planned. He has glasses on. He has a clipboard. He's got all kinds of notes. I don't know exactly what we're doing, but I'm going to let him explain. Okay.
So I was inspired by Bill's Guess the Connection and the Songs game a while back, and wanted to resurrect a game that Phil Ingrassia turned me on to many years ago. It's called Who's the Bigger Star? But you take person A, person B, and you discuss. And this is a great way to pass the time when you're drinking beer and got nothing to do. If you're in South Dakota or you just moved here, it's a fun topic, right?
You could love it.
You could do anything from all kinds of celebrities, experts, Elon Musk versus Bill Gates, whatever. In this case, you know, I wanted to do about music, obviously, and I'm really challenging myself because these are two musical artists I really like. And I don't actually know where the outcome is going to be. Wow. So are you guys in?
I'm in.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right. So the topic is, who's the bigger star, Neil Young or Tom Petty?
Okay.
The late Tom Petty.
I mean, both of them have huge histories. I don't know if we want to get into the whole history, but is there like a really
I have a couple paragraphs I could read.
A little synopsis on each.
You guys just
artist.
Hit me in the head if I go too
okay.
far.
Okay. All right.
All right. So Tom Petty, at age 26, with the Heartbreakers, released the self-titled album in 1976. It was a mix of punk and straight-ahead rock. With Jimmy Iovine as producer, the third album, Damn the Torpedoes, released in 1979, was a classic and began a run of pretty much all gold and platinum albums with more than 80 million records sold. A long list of songs that became staples of classic rock radio include Breakdown, American Girl, Refugee, Don't Do Me Like That, The Waiting, Don't Come Around Here No More, Free Fallin'. Petty and the band also had songs that could be considered southern rock, country rock, psychedelic, and blues. Neil Young emerged in 1966 at the age of 21 with Buffalo Springfield and the big hit For What It's Worth, written by Stephen Stills, of course, from that album. But Young's song Mr. Soul led off 1967's Buffalo Springfield again, and there's I Am a Child on 1968's Last Time Around. He began his solo career the next year with the self-titled album that includes the song The Loner. And the same year, he put out another album, Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere, with songs such as Cinnamon Girl, Down by the River, and Cowgirl in the Sand. Since then, he's released more than 55 albums labeled a solo or with Crazy Horse or other backing groups, including the Shocking Pinks on Everybody's Rocking. I think it's fair to say once their careers got going, you know, they're off to a pretty good start. Maybe not commercially, but they both had gold records early on. And then Young began working with Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
We'll be right back.
Okay, well, this is just background because I have a feeling you guys are going to ask me questions I want to hear. But
it is, all I'll say is it's interesting to compare two artists who I think in some ways, are kind of similar in terms of their influences and their take on sort of rock and roll, right? But about 10 years apart in terms of when their career started, right?
Yeah. And I think that's a really important point, Jim, because of the way FM radio and music had evolved during that time, right? When Neil Young was coming up as a folk singer in Toronto, Canada, I mean, you know, playing in the bars there and then coming to L.A., you know, to what was a legendary story. You're going to drive a hearse to Los Angeles to find, you know, the other guys. And yet still FM radio really hadn't evolved that much at that point. Yet when Petty started in 76, you know, 75, and that whole thing had been established, right? Mm-hmm. There was radio play. There was more mainstream rock and roll channels, right? You could get your record played and appeal to more of a rock and roll audience who had maybe been through the Beatles, right, and had been through, you know, some of those changes. Woodstock, maybe they'd been to Woodstock, right, and maybe they in the early 70s they'd been into some of those other groups. So I think that's really important, and also the fact that punk, like you said, Mike, was just on the horizon when Petty came up. So it was a really interesting time. However,
right.
The whole thing was about to crest at the end of the 60s when Neil Young came up. So, it's pretty fascinating.
But the punk thing
comes into play again later.
It does with
it
Neil
does.
Young, too,
yes,
right?
It does.
So there's an interesting thing here. The other thing I'll say just in terms of a commonality for most people, just casual music fans, these kind of divisive voices, right?
Yep.
You know?
Very true. Very
exactly.
true.
Love
like,
it or hate
like,
it kind
yep.
of voice with
like
both
Bob
of them.
Like Bob Dylan, they're not someone you would choose to right. just go, oh, this is a great voice.
Right.
This is like Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's not.
Right, right.
But they're
a little grady, little whiny when you first hear it.
Yeah.
But the songwriters, you go and get pulled in by the lyrics, and then you listen to, then you begin to love the voice, and you listen to it.
Yeah. Interesting. Right. Okay. All right. So where are we going now?
So, well, let's look at record sales, for instance. So, actually, this is pretty even.
I'm surprised by this because I would think that Petty would be way above.
Petty had the biggest hit, the greatest hits album, sold 12 million or more.
Okay, but that's a greatest hit, so that's kind of a different thing.
But I mean, overall, I could never get an A and B comparison of numbers, but Petty sold about 80 plus million, all right?
Although Neil Young had Decade, right? That was another greatest hit. So anyway.
But then there's this site called chartmasters.org that tallied up Neil's catalog.
That's a cool site.
And had him selling 65 million globally and another 20 million or so for CSNY and Buffalo Springfield. So it's almost even. Hmm. And then for Petty, you know, the Wilburys albums each went platinum, which kind of, in a way, evens out the CSNY stuff a little bit.
Hmm.
Okay, so then you go. So then you go to, like, the music and how is it. How's it been analyzed over the years? So I got some lists here. Rolling Stone's top 500 albums that was redone a year and a half or so ago. So Tom Petty has three albums on there. Wildflowers, Damn the Torpedoes, and Full Moon Fever. Neil Young has seven albums on there. He's part of seven albums on there. Harvest, After the Gold Rush, Deja Vu, which is CSNY, Rust Never Sleeps, Tonight's the Night, On the Beach, Everybody Knows This is Nowhere. Now, interestingly, he had five albums on the original 500 list at Rolling Stone. So so Neil's gravitas has
increased over the years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even with older albums.
Yes.
Right?
I can see that.
They've increased in stature.
And in fact, these older albums continue to sell as people get into him.
Yep.
I mean, and he has a big giant archives project, and Stephen Routledge and I are all excited about that. But if you're interested in Neil Young, I mean, you could just go to his website and listen to every album, anything he's got, you can get it on his website.
I want know. Keep me searching for a heart of gold, and I'm getting old.
Neil had a number one hit, which was Heart of Gold,
right.
A single.
Yes.
Tom Petty never had a number one hit. The highest song he ever got was Stop Dragging My Heart Around, which hit number three in 1981, and that was actually on Stevie Nicks' solo album.
Yep.
Free Fallin', which you might think possibly got number one, hit number seven. Ironically, both had one number one album on the Billboard Top 200 chart, and it was Harvest for Neil. And Tom Petty's... And the Heartbreakers' last album hit number one,
okay.
Hypnotic Guy, which basically tells you people weren't buying albums except guys like me.
Right,
it's
right.
a whole
that's
other
a
world.
Different environment, yeah, totally. Yeah. So not Full Moon Fever.
It didn't get number one. Okay. Did not. So now you go to, you know, what are the best songs these people worked on? According to the Rolling Stone Readers' Poll 2011, Neil's best songs were Old Man, The Needle and the Damage Done, Heart of Gold, Like a Hurricane, Harvest Moon, Ohio, After the Gold Rush. Tom Petty's best songs, this was not a reader's poll. They didn't have another AB comparison. This was from the writers. American Girl, Refugee, Don't Come Around Here No More, Free Fallin', Listen to Her Heart, Running Down a Dream, The Waiting, Breakdown, Room at the Top, I Won't Back Down. Now, I list these songs, and there are dozens of songs from each of these artists that I think I probably listened to as much or more than what we just said.
Yeah. I played Cripple Creek Ferry, and it's a minute and 15 minutes. I played it 27 times in a row the other day. So my mind's made up.
So a few more things. Legacy-wise, Neil's been inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice. Solo in 95 and Buffalo Springfield in 97.
Yep.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers inducted in 2002. One thing I'll say is Neil may have an edge here because the song he wrote, Ohio, basically gives him a place in music history that very few people can even attest, can aspire to. I mean,
he didn't
want to write that song. He just wrote it based on Kent State.
It's iconic.
The Shootings.
Yeah. Yep.
Give you a couple of my strategy things here. Strengths of Tom Petty. Album and concert sales. Tom Petty played bigger arenas than Neil did. I mean, I've been to see Tom Petty more than a dozen times. I've seen Neil probably a dozen times, including three Farm Aids. Tom's usually is playing the bigger place.
Yes.
He probably has a more consistent career of what he puts out.
Yeah.
And
well, there's a reason for that, but
exactly. And arguably, he's got better critical acclaim than Neil does across the board.
You think?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We will discuss.
Okay, all right.
And I will also say, I think Tom Petty is underappreciated because what many people consider his best song, American Girl, is on an album that didn't even go gold.
Yeah. Right.
Though it was on the greatest hits album that sold 12 million or more. So now for Neil, Neil is like weather in Kansas or actually anywhere. Because if you don't like what he's doing now, he's going to change. Because Neil does what he wants to do as an artist. Within his first decade of solo work, he'd done the country-flavored singer-songwriter As Good As You Can Do It with Harvest. Then he did a raw rock classic, Tonight's the Night, mm-hmm. as well as great albums as On the Beach, Zuma, and a Touchstone, which had a song which is a touchstone like Cortez the Killer. And then in recent years, he's done crazy things like recording on a, it may have been an acetate, I don't know what it was, at Jack White's third record, you know, Third Man Records place.
I remember
it's
that
a
now.
One man, yeah. It's a one-man, it's a one-take thing, you know?
Yeah.
So Neil is not afraid to do anything. So those are a few of the thoughts I bring to the table. Any
All right.
responses?
I think we start with Bill Mulligan.
Who was eating more honey slides, by the way? I just want to know.
Well, I know you said there are no rules, and yet I can't stop being an attorney and long enough to wonder about what the definitions are here. It seems like when it comes to critical acclaim, although it sounds like Jim might not agree with this, critical acclaim and maybe influence on others, that's Neil Young.
No, I do agree with that.
Oh, you do agree with that?
I thought he said that Petty was had
oh, you're
greater
right, you're
critical
right, you're
well,
right.
I put him as that as a strength. I didn't address critical acclaim in Neil Young, so we'll leave
okay,
that
all right,
to
content.
So this is where we go.
I think with in terms of popularity, probably Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm.
I think it very much depends on how old you are.
Mm-hmm.
You get to be, unfortunately, a little younger than I am, and it's definitely Tom Petty. And if mm-hmm. you're my age or older, it's probably Neil Young. But I think the one area in which Neil Young clearly comes out ahead is irritating Lynyrd Skynyrd so much that they call him out in a song. And anybody who can do that, I think, deserves a place in the pantheon.
That's pretty damn good, yeah.
That's a good point. All right. I will say, when you first suggested this via text, my immediate thought was, when you said, who's the bigger star? My immediate thought was Tom Petty. Because I think I went to the fact where you landed on who could fill bigger venues, right? And I think that was Tom Petty. And I also just think in terms of, like, kind of broader public appeal, I think Petty's that guy because he just wrote sort of more crowd-pleasing kind of songs, you know, songs that appealed more to the masses. Although, as you just say, it kind of took a little while for him. His career didn't explode right away. Neil Young was younger when he first reached more popularity. But then I thought about some more, and I was thinking, and this may feed into what Bill was saying about the age thing. You know, to me, Tom Petty's just always, you know, for me as a music fan, he kind of came up at the same time as I did, right? So I think he's just sort of part of my music DNA right. in some way, and I sort of like all the stuff he likes, I like too. You know what I mean? So it just like it fits really well. Like you feel like this musical kinship with him. Whereas Neil Young feels like a little bit of a different generation to some extent. And I think the key here with Neil Young is I would say he's the more critically acclaimed artist because he has experimented more. He's tried more things. He's a deeper songwriter in some way because Petty is as good as he is as a lyricist and turn of phrase. Most of his songs are relationship songs. Neil Young can write about all different kinds of things, and like you mentioned, Ohio is a classic example of that, like an iconic song that makes a statement that still has relevance today. But I think people forget about how big the Harvest album was. Like, just in terms of stardom, sure. That was a huge record, right?
Massive.
Yeah, massive record that took Neil Young, made him a big star. So I think I still would say that this kid over here is getting upset about what I'm saying, I think. But I think
he really wants you to not say what you're going to say.
Yeah. I think I still would say, in terms of rock stardom, I think I'd still go to Tom Petty because not only do I think he's bigger and sort of like a popularity way, but I also think he kind of cared a little bit more about being a rock star, maybe, than Neil Young. But I think if you're talking about the bigger artist, I think I'd go with Neil Young. And then one last thing I'll say, because I just want to equate this to Johnny Cash. I thought Neil Young got big bonus points for me for being on the Johnny Cash show and playing Neil and the Damage Done. And it's such an awesome performance and such a huge thing that he even like was able to play a song like that to masses of people and have it be popular, that I think that also elevates him in terms of a certain kind of stardom. Like, you could take a song like that and make it a hit song, right?
I will definitely say Tom Petty's a bigger star. And Jim laid out some of the reasons that I'm thinking, too. I think Petty rode and understood star-making machinery better than Neil Young. I think Neil Young could have done that if he wanted to, because they were both really relevant artists at the same time. Yet, I think Neil was so idiosyncratic and so driven by his own personal vision that he decided not to. And to me, he made some of his best music when he flew in the face of those opportunities, right? Because, of course, you follow up, you know, after the Gold Rush or Harvest with Tonight's the Night, right? That's what you do. You don't. But Petty, I think, understood it. And the other thing to me, I think that's really important about this argument, which is incredibly difficult, folks, and try to work it out for yourself. It's really close. And a fascinating idea, Mike, and I can't wait to hear how people weigh in, is that Petty had the advantage and also the savvy to absorb a lot of what Neil Young did, right?
Exactly. Right.
So he took that and built upon it. And that's, you know, not Neil's fault, of course, and he was, you know, groundbreaking artist for many, many people, but Petty understood that. Now, the other thing I'll say about Petty is that my mind always goes back to the time when, you know, it's well written out in the book Trouble Boys, where the Replacements opened up for Tom Petty. And all they wanted to do was screw things up, right? They just wanted to wear, you know, the Petty and Wives dresses on stage and get thrown out and make trouble. Petty could have done that if he wanted to, but he didn't, right? But he held his own vision and he held his own circumstance and he wrote it all out and he became the guy who could invite the Replacements on their tour and not be thrown off, and he became bigger than the system in many ways because he worked the system and he wrote it, and I give him all credit for that. And you know, there's a famous story about Hard Promises where he wanted to keep the retail price lower, right? And he was at a point where he could do that. Now, that was a fairly small argument for him, but that was where he chose to pick the battle.
But that
right
was
there.
Like the Ticketmaster and Pearl Jam of its day.
He
picked, at that point.
He knew where he could pick his battle, and he picked them smartly, and he won them. And for me, that makes him a bigger star. Is he more influential than Neil Young? I don't think so, but he's a bigger star. And, you know, I don't think it'd be – I would never want to have to pick – a favorite either those two.
Right.
But certainly, I mean, I think for those reasons, I would say for the purposes of this, I would go with Petty. Yeah.
I think when you talk about the name of the game is who's the bigger star. Tom Petty acted like a star.
Right.
That's
a,
right.
Neil Young, I don't
never
think
really
very
wanted
rare,
to.
Even when he was with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, he was like the guy that didn't act like a star.
Right.
I don't think we left any spots in here for music. I mean, you guys will figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I was. That's how I kind of gestalted this. It's like it's easy. It's almost an easy way out.
Yeah.
I don't have to pick who I like best because who I want to listen to on a daily basis is different depending on the mood you're in or what you need.
Right.
I will say Neil gave you more options for what he
yes.
can give you.
Totally.
Like you say, he's probably, if I had to choose, I'd say he's the more developed artist. You know, whereas Tom is the bigger star,
mm-hmm.
and Tom had the most is the most popular person. That's how I came at this. I will say, interestingly, the influences are somewhat similar
yes,
when you
yeah,
looked at
I
what
agree.
They.
Without a
you
doubt.
Know, I mean, I wrote a few things down, and unfortunately, we know people who will say they were influenced by Tom Petty because unfortunately he died. You know, so we had all these people
well,
saying
there is that. Yeah.
So we have. You know, Dave Grohl, Taylor Swift, Bon Jovi, The War on Drugs, you know, it's saying that Tom Petty inspired them. The Strokes said they stole the riff from American Girl for Last Night for their first
yep.
Album that came out. Neil Young, I mean, and both these guys influenced singer-songwriters that we'll never know who they are. In every
right.
town, there's a singer, there's hundreds of singer-songwriters that use these people as their touchstones.
Yep.
And then Neil Young, not only bands like, you know, Sunvolt, but grunge bands like Pearl Jam, who he did an album with.
Yep, great point.
And then punk bands, you know, like Social Distortion and Sonic Youth. I mean, Sonic Youth opened for
yep.
Neil at one of the shows I went to. And then Kurt Cobain, you know, mentioned it's better to burn out than to fade away in a suicide note, which
yep.
is a sad thing. But and then Neil put a song... I don't know if he actually credited it to Kurt, but it's pretty much accepted that the song Sleeps with Angels is about Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
So they tread the same path. And, Patrick, you made a good point that Petty got to tread Young's path a
yeah.
little bit, too.
Yeah.
So he could kind of see what the reaction of the public might be.
Right, right.
But a lot of alternative artists really love Neil Young. And they liked the way he navigated, even though he was on major labels, the way he navigated the music industry, and they took inspiration from that. And he, I remember when he came out with the Freedom album at the end of the 80s, it was almost like kind of a precursor to where, like, music was about to head, right? And how this we're going to have this explosion of this kind of, like, hard, guitar-driven music that was going to sort of take over the American mainstream, and he was right there with it how many years into his career, right? There's bits of stardom, rock stardom in Neil Young's career, but it's not as sort of consistent, you know, in terms of being a star as Petty's was.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, Mike's point is very salient in the fact that Petty is no longer with us, and so we don't know where those flowers might have bloomed for Petty when he reached 70 or, you know, 75.
Right. But thanks very much, Mike. This is great.
It was good.
So where did you land? You landed
on... I think
on
Tom Petty's the bigger star.
Star.
That's it.
Okay.
That's Tom Petty wins that. The answer to that sentence.
I
agree.
I think that's right.
Two victories and a no decision.
So. Okay.
Bill, where do you come on this one?
It's Neil Young. I think because of his influences...
Okay. All right. Thanks very much, Mike.
Oh,
this
that was great.
Great.
It was good.
So appreciate it.
Thanks for bearing with me.
We have 2 weeks of fan mail coming up on this episode.
Here's how you can submit that. You can call, leave a message, 612-440-1984. Yep. Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com, or you can hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram @suburbspod. Intern Matt will check all of this.
Yes, he will.
He's going to be very busy.
God bless you, sir. In Canada.
There right.
you go.
I'm just going to say that. I know where intern Matt lands on this. I think I know where he lands on this debate.
We hope we know.
Yeah. All right, let's get out of here. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I'm Mike Snyder.
And I'm Bill Mulligan.
We'll talk to you all later.
After the gold rush, it's pretty funny here. My autocorrect changed it to after the goldfish.